As I was praying about the service tonight, praying about what exactly the Lord wanted me to minister, He began speaking to me, and I want to take you to two passages of Scripture as the foundation for what He said, and I'm going to read this entire word to you tonight. We'll start in Luke chapter 17. Luke chapter 17. You know, it's interesting when the Lord begins to speak like this. I know it's Him because by myself there's no way I could ever come up with anything that sounds that intelligent. And so, you know, it's obvious who gets the credit for these things. In Luke chapter 17, verse 6, "And the Lord said, if ye had faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye might say unto this sycamine tree, be thou plucked up by the root, and be thou planted in the sea, and it should obey you." Now look over in Mark chapter 11. Mark chapter 11. We're going to read two verses here. Verses 22 and 23. "And Jesus answering saith unto them, have faith in God. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith." Obviously, both of these passages of Scripture have to do with confession and what we say. When I grew up in church, I really did not know anything about what you would call the confession message, or faith and confession, as some people put it. And it wasn't until Kathy and I got married, well, actually, right before we got married, when we were attending a church that you might refer to as a full gospel church, or, you know, whatever term you like, that we began to hear about faith and confession. And I look back on it, and I don't recall hearing messages about faith and confession that were terribly imbalanced. Now, that's not true about every person out there who's preaching and teaching about faith and confession. The bad thing is how that message has been abused over the years, and how many Christians have come to believe that they can just say whatever they feel like saying and they're going to get it. Well, no, it doesn't work that way. And it's because of the abuses that a lot of Christians don't want to hear anything about faith and confession. Well, right along with that, there are a lot of people who just flat out don't believe it. They just don't believe anything about the faith and confession message. And that's very sad because we've just read two passages here that deal with what you speak and receiving what it is you say. In one place, Jesus was talking about, you know, speaking to a sycamine tree. And a lot of people have talked about, you know, well, what is significant about a sycamine tree? And I've done this myself, teaching about, well, what, here's what the sycamine tree does, here's how its roots are, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Well, you know what? That's really kind of irrelevant, because if you can't even get a stinkweed out of the ground, then how you know, don't even worry about a sycamine tree. You understand what I'm getting at? So, I mean, it's not wrong to learn about the sycamine tree, but the image here is the power of what you say. And likewise, then Jesus talks about a mountain. He says, look, you know, if you got the kind of faith that you can have, well, you can speak to the mountain. You know, disappear in the sea, and it will go. And whatever you say, you can have. You've got to believe it. Well, a lot of people just don't even believe that. They don't believe that they can have what they say. They don't believe that their confession is any big deal. Well, look, I mean no disrespect, but if you fall into that category of Christian who does not believe in the faith and confession message, and I'm not talking about the abuses, I'm talking about what we've just read here. If you are a Christian and you don't believe this, then you need to get back into the Word of God because you're deceived. And Satan has been able to sow a lie into your life, and you are believing that lie. Because when Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, says, if you have faith developed to a certain point, you can speak and things are going to happen. Well, with this in mind, especially these two examples about speaking to a sycamine tree and speaking to a mountain, listen to this. It was as though the Holy Spirit were speaking. He said, unless you clearly understand what the mountains and sycamine trees are, you could easily be speaking against what your Father desires. Spiritual immaturity can lead you to misidentify a mountain. And I got to thinking, boy, you know what? There's a lot of truth in that. Because if we don't have a clue what's going on, and all we've heard is, if you have faith like the mustard seed, you know how it goes, then you can speak to it and make it be gone. And that's it. That's all we've heard. That's all we know. You know, we'll run around speaking to things, trying to get them out of our lives. Maybe they shouldn't be out of our lives. Maybe these things that we think are mountains and sycamine trees are actually a part of what God wants us to do here in this life. But if you're not mature enough to recognize it, then what you perceive as a mountain, God might see as a blessing. You know, you can walk up to the Red Sea and think that that's a curse, when all you have to do is say the right word and it parts. You see what I'm getting at? Likewise, you may be standing there trying to confess the wrong mountain out of your life. Maybe there's a gold mine in that mountain. You see what I'm getting at? And it's a lack of spiritual maturity which leads us to potentially misidentifying the mountains and the sycamine trees. Just because we see something that we think is a hardship doesn't mean it's a hardship. You know, if you go through Scripture, you can see a lot of people complaining about a lot of things that they shouldn't have been complaining about. And if we will grow beyond what we perceive from our vantage point to where we can start seeing things from God's vantage point, we'll start speaking to the right mountains. It could be that a lot of the things that we've been confessing over the years, we shouldn't have been confessing. Then we turn around and we say, well, this stuff doesn't work. Well, it does work. I mean, if we see it here in Scripture, then it works. But it's how you try to make it work that makes the difference. Well, he continued. He said, your confession is based on what you know and have received. You cannot confess what you do not know, and you will not confess what you don't truly believe. Think about that. I'll read it again. Your confession is based on what you know and have received. You cannot confess what you do not know, and you will not confess what you don't truly believe. So therefore, now think about this. Let's think about healing. If you really believed that your words, your confession, could produce a healing in your own body, let alone anybody else's, would you not speak it? What do you confess over your car when it won't start? Okay. Have you ever wondered, you know, why it won't start? You talking to it like that? I wouldn't start either. But you can't confess what you don't know. I just wish I knew what the will of God was. Well, if you knew the will of God, would you speak it? Oh, absolutely. Well, then maybe you need to get with God to find out what it is He wants you to speak over your life, over your ministry, over your job, over everything else. I mean, it's so simple, but it's so brilliant. You cannot confess what you do not know. Obviously. Well, that carries over to the Bible itself. If you don't know what's in the Bible, then you don't know how to confess the Bible. Therefore, the solution to that is get in the Bible and find out what's in there so that you can turn around and speak what's in the Bible. And you will not confess what you don't truly believe. And boy, is that true. Absolutely true. Now, the kicker is, every Christian is going to say, I believe the Bible. How many Christians are going to say, nah, not me, I don't believe that. No, we believe the Bible. But what we believe is evidenced by what we say. And you're only going to speak what you truly believe. Now, there's not one of us in here who would have a problem sharing with somebody else about Jesus and being born again. We would confess that salvation is through Jesus because that's what's recorded in the Word of God and we truly believe it. But some of these other things, when you start speaking opposed to what God has already established, then how in the world do you expect His Word to become manifest in your life? And this is a learning process because, like I said, when Kathy and I first started going to church, we'd never heard the faith and confession message. I mean, she hadn't heard much at all because she had been raised in church like I was. But I was raised in church and never heard those things. So this was a whole new learning curve for me. And that's why I wanted to read and hear every faith and confession teacher I could. Some of the things I heard and read were really good. Some had to kind of unlearn as the years went on. But still, I felt like I'd walked into a whole new realm of Christianity. Well, and I had. But I had to learn what that realm was all about. And learning about it comes strictly from the Word of God. Well, the Holy Spirit continued, and He said, when you know the will of your Father and have accepted it as the path for your life, your confession will align with His will. You know, when you fell in love, what did you say to other people? You know, well, I can't stand that guy. He's the dumbest, ugliest thing I've ever met in my life. But we're going to get married. No! You know, all you wanted to do was talk great things about him or her. Oh, she's beautiful. She can do no wrong. Why, she smells like lilacs and roses. Why, she is just everything. You speak what you want. You understand what I'm saying? You speak what's loaded up here on the inside. And you talk about your love for each other. And, you know, you become obnoxious to the people around you. They're just tired of hearing it, all right? And then for the woman, when he proposes and she's got that engagement ring, all she can do is like scratch her head in front of everybody and say, oh, wow, what a beautiful... Oh, can you see that over there? Look over there, look. All she wants everybody to do is see that ring. Because that's all that's in you. You're so much in love with each other. That's what you want to speak. And you are confessing each other's will that you are in love and that you're going to get married, right? When you know the Father's will and have accepted it as the path for your life, your confession is going to show it. Your confession will reveal what God has established for you in your life. And I'm going to let you in on something here. This is where, I don't want to say most, but most might be the right word. Most pastors have missed it. Because when a pastor... And this kind of stuff goes on a lot. And those of you, like I know, you know, Judy and Wayne pastored for a long time. And those of you maybe that have been around other pastors. And I mean, you've been close to them to hear them talk away from the pulpit and so forth. A lot of pastors will use churches as stepping stones for the next church and the next church and the next church. You know, bigger and better things. And their confession is not about the will of God for their call. Their confession is about what they want. I want a bigger church. And you know, I can remember years ago, I'm praying, you know, oh God, I want a bigger church. And he asked me why. Why do you want a bigger church? And it wasn't that I was looking to leave. Just make it grow where I am. He said, well, why do you want it to grow? Why do you want more people? He asked me. And I'll tell you what, that stopped me in my tracks. Because I knew now's not the time to, get religious with your answer. So I just kind of sat there and I just stopped. I thought, well, I'd like to think it's because I want your will done. But I'll be honest with you. I'm not so sure of my motives right now. And you know what? If you're honest with God, I mean, He knows already, okay? But if you're honest with God, it helps Him out a lot. Because it means you're willing to kind of hear a little bit more than maybe what you heard before. So He dealt with me about that. And, now it's not about trying to, get a big old church. And look, guys, I'm like you. I'd like to have more people here. But I want it for the right reason. I don't want more people here just, used to. When I got around preachers, pastors, let me tell you what they talk about when they get together. And you're not around. Well, how many is your church running now? What are you up to? Anymore, I don't even like to talk about that. And it's not because I'm ashamed. It's because I just don't want to focus on numbers. Let's talk about the Word or something, okay? And not all pastors are bragging, okay? A lot of times that question is based out of, share with me what's happening in your church. I understand that, and that's okay. But some of them, man, they just want to brag. Some of them, they're asking you that question because they want you to ask them. And they can say, well, we're up to about 350. You're down to what now? But when you know the will of the Father and you have accepted it as the path for your life, your confession will align with His will. Now, that's encouraging. Because when I accept it, I will begin to speak it. He said, boy, listen to this one. When you know the love of your Father, your confession will reflect that love. Now, that sounds simple. But you know what that means? You're not going to fuss and complain about your life. When you know His love, then you know, no matter what happens, no matter how much stinky comes into your life, you know that He loves you so much, He's going to help you. You know that He loves you so much that even if you made a big old bonehead mistake, and I mean you just made a wrong choice, you know He loves you so much, He's not going to give you the left foot of fellowship out of the kingdom. You know that. You know He loves you so much that He is your Father, He is your Daddy, and even though you did a dummy, He's going to take you into His arms. He's going to comfort you. He's going to hold you so close that you can not only hear His heartbeat, but you can feel it in His chest. You're going to feel His breath as He speaks His love to you. You know you're welcome on His lap. And, when you're a grown man talking about that kind of stuff, hey, listen, we're His children. And one of the worst things in the world for men to get all ate up with pride to where you can't even talk about wanting to sit in the lap of your Heavenly Father. Well, you know what? We can rub beards. Hallelujah. You understand what I'm getting at? We have to become like a child. And when you know the love of your Father, you're not going to talk about how God failed you. You're not going to talk about how God let you down. You're not going to talk about how I wish He was near. You're not going to talk about, I just can't feel Him anymore. You're not going to say those things. Because when you know His love, your confession is going to reflect that love. And when people get around you, they're going to hear you speak of that love. They may not understand, they may not agree, especially a lot of Christians may not agree. But when you know the love of your Father, in that teaching series, the judgment seat of Christ, boy, God, He just goes through the New Testament. He just says, you better not do this. And He lays it on the line, but at the same time, He keeps saying, repent, come back to me. Repent, I'm here for you. I love you so much, I'm going to tell you what you do is wrong. But I'm going to tell you to come back because you're welcome right here at this throne. Repent, come back. When you know the love of your Father, You talk like it. Well, continuing, he said, "Your Father has ordained that your words carry power and authority. Repeatedly in His Word, He has instructed you to speak and call out those things which are of Him." And when he said that, I began to think about all through the Word. It's like He's leading us to talk. He's leading us to speak. And in some places, He says, speak. Call it out. Declare these things. And Old and New Testament, it's like God saying, come on, say it. Say it. Open your mouth and say it. Speak these things. Your authority in the earthly realm is released through your words. Satan will not respond to your actions, but he will respond to your words. If your words are a reflection of your Father, you can hold Satan at bay. But if your words do not reflect your Father, you have opened a door to attack. How can your words reflect your Father? My God loves me. My God supplies for me. My God, I mean, just everything He says in here, right? In His Word. But the moment you open your mouth and you start confessing everything stinks, everything is lousy, my life is worthless, nobody loves me anymore, God doesn't need... I mean, you know what I'm talking about? Those times when we like get on these pity parties or whatever we're going through, and we've all done it now, and we speak that kind of stuff, that is just what the devil's waiting for. Because when you start talking like that, you know what you're doing? You're talking like him. Because those things are a lie. Those things aren't true. When you say, I just don't feel like there's any reason for my life, no purpose for my life, that's a lie. Listen, God's got a perfect will for every human being. Now, you can turn out to be like a Hitler, or you can turn out to be like an Apostle Paul. The choice is yours. But He's still got a plan. He's still got a will for your life. And when you begin to speak, and you begin to confess those things that line up with the very nature and character of your Father, you're going to hold the devil back. That's exactly what Jesus did. Kenneth Hagin, when he was still with us, he shared a story one time how he was, I believe he was in the church sanctuary. And Jesus appeared to him. And he and Jesus were having this conversation, and he said that all of a sudden this devil appeared, this demon. And as he and Jesus are talking, that demon just started going, yeah, 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 to where he was having a hard time understanding Jesus. And Brother Hagin says, I'm standing there wondering, why didn't Jesus do something about that? Why didn't Jesus deal with this? And finally, after a while, Brother Hagin got tired of it, and he just looked at him and said, would you shut up and get out of here? And boom, that thing took off running. And Jesus looked at him and said, I'm so glad you did that. It wasn't that Jesus didn't have the authority, but the authority has been given to us. To us. And see, in our minds, there are a lot of things that we wish the devil would do. And God is saying, no problem. You want him out of your life? You want those devils out of your home? You want things changed? Speak it. Open your mouth and speak it. Because God has delegated authority to us. And that authority in this earthly realm is carried out by our words. This is one of the reasons why you teach children to talk, is it not? So you can communicate effectively with them. Isn't it frustrating to have a little baby and all the baby does is cry and you don't know what it wants and you want to pull your hair out? Like, I wish I knew. I wish I knew. And you check the diaper and everything's okay. He's like, I don't know what it is. Well, you want them to talk so they can communicate with you. Likewise, God is saying, will you please communicate in that earthly realm? Speak. Speak. And through your words, you can have an impact on the devil. Thing is, you can't be double-minded. You can't be Faith Mountain one day and Gloom and Despair Valley the next day. You can't be speaking Almighty God words of faith one day and the next day be bellyaching and complaining about everything. That's a double-minded man, and that means you're unstable. You're confused. Look, it doesn't matter how bad it gets. Don't lose your father's confession. Don't lose it. No matter how frustrated you get, don't come into agreement with the devil. Stay in agreement with your father. Jesus got really frustrated at times. You don't think so? Just read the four Gospels. But look what came out of his mouth. He spoke in line with the Father's will. Well, the Holy Ghost went on, and he said, when you exercise your authority in conjunction with your Father's will and His words in Scripture, He is then able to move more freely in you and on your behalf. Think of it like this. Here's God. He's up in heaven. And He has released unto us words, power, authority through what we speak. Now, because this is how He's planned it out, He honors His rules. He doesn't break the rules. So there He is, sitting up there in heaven. And He just waiting to show Himself strong on behalf of those who believe in Him, who will speak the way they're supposed to speak. So He's waiting, and He's waiting, and He's waiting. And your mind can be filled with all the right words. Let them out. And the moment that you begin to speak according to who He is, according to what He's revealed in His Word, He then is able to minister in you, but also to minister for you and through you. Because when you give Him His words that won't return void, He then is able to act on that. He's not going to act on anything other than what He has said, His standards, His principles. But when you begin to speak what He has done, speak as He reveals Himself in His Word, things are going to happen. Now, He said, boy, listen to this. You have the ability to bless or curse your life, your home, your job, your finances, your health, and your future. Think about that. You have the ability to bless or curse your life, your home, your job, your finances, your health, and your future. Oh, I wish God would bless me. Well, He wants to. He's not holding back. Everything about your life is waiting for you to speak. Think about that. Everything about your life is waiting for you to speak. Let me ask you something. What do you want to have more control over you? The way this world works or the power of God's Word? So here's your life, your home, your job, your money, your health, your everything. It's just waiting for you to speak. And until you speak, listen now, it's going to go the course of this world. It has no choice because it's in this world. But when you begin to speak the way that God has declared in His Word, then you begin to alter circumstances. Now see, I know that there are Christians out there who think this is crazy, weirdo, you know, mumbo-jumbo stuff. But God said so. It's the way it works in the Word. He said, when you know and understand this divine spiritual truth, you will stop speaking like a fool and start commanding, declaring, decreeing, and speaking like royalty who is in charge. Are you not a king and a priest unto God? Man, let that sink in. It's powerful. He says, the words of your mouth are birthed by the meditations in your heart, and both are supposed to be pleasing in the sight of your Father. Now, Psalm 19:14, he talks about that. Think about how you talk. This next one, this will make you sit back and think. Think about how you talk. Do you honestly want me to release my full anointing on your words? Are you ready to be held accountable for what happens every time you open your mouth and let words fly out? We need to thank God that the Holy Spirit doesn't release His full anointing every time we open our mouth. I mean, think about all the people that you've called stupid morons, all right? Now, what if the anointing went with those words? You'd have a bunch of, you know, weak-brained people out there. All the times that you said, I wish something, you know, such and such would happen to them. They deserve whatever. If God's full anointing was released upon your words, those things would be happening. So are we ready to stand accountable before God for what happens when we speak? I'm not. Here's the thing. All the right things we say, we expect it to happen just like... But all the bad things we say, oh, thank God they didn't come to pass. Oh, why did I say that? I regret those. I take that back. Well, you can't take it back. Once you've released it, man, it's out there. Now you can apologize, but you can't take it back. He said, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. But does your confession reflect a belief in an almighty God who judges the hearts and words of men? You know, we want to blame people who don't believe in God. But do our words reflect the kind of belief in God we say we have? The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. But does your confession reflect a belief in an almighty God who judges the hearts and words of men? For does not Scripture say that you will be judged and given account for every idle word which you speak? Idle words are those which do not line up with your Father's heart and cannot produce the life of the Father in your life or circumstances. Those are idle words. Idle words aren't telling jokes now and then. I mean, if they were, I'd be in big trouble. That's not idle words. Idle, meaning they're not doing anything. When your car is idling, what's it doing? It's just sitting there running. You know, it's not going anywhere, just sitting there running. Idle words are words that don't do anything, that don't accomplish anything. Words that go forth that can't produce the life and the will of the Father. In other words, those times we run our mouths, things we shouldn't say, those are idle words. Your salvation came about because you spoke what you believed about Jesus and your need to be born again. The manifestation of your inheritance is likewise based on what you believe and what you speak. It is not your Father's fault if you are not partaking of more of your inheritance. Do your words reflect those of someone who is a joint heir with the King of Kings and Lord of Lords? Do you speak like someone who is seated on the throne with your King? Do you speak like a king or a slave? Do you speak like a possessor or a debtor? Do you speak like one who is afflicted or one who is delivered? Would God speak over your life what you speak over your life? What type of fruit are your lips bearing? Now, right there is a month worth of meditation. Do we speak like a king? Do we speak like somebody who's been healed? Do we speak like a possessor or a debtor? You know, you sit back, you start thinking about the kind of things you say on a daily basis. Oh, we all talk right when we're in church. We know that. It's like one preacher said, there's a church you and there's a real you. We know what to do when we're in church. But it's the real us. That's the life we're living. I want the real me to be the church me. You understand what I mean? I want it to be consistent. He said, just as you surrendered your heart to the Father for salvation, now you must submit your heart for His words and your mouth for His confession. Nothing about His word can fail. Therefore, bury His words deeply in your heart and release His success through your words. Praise God. I think one of the hardest things in the world, I mean, based on my experiences with people, is to get folks to accept that what they say impacts their life. Now, we all get angry and say things we shouldn't. That doesn't make it right. And you can't go to God and say, well, you know, I was mad. Because God just turns around and say, yeah, you might have been mad, but still, you don't understand the power of your words. And I'm guilty too. Get upset and say stupid things you shouldn't say. Then after you settle down, you hear the Holy Spirit inside saying, why'd you do that? Why'd you say those things? You shouldn't have said those things. That's wrong. And again, thank God that He doesn't add His full anointing to every word we say. You stupid computer, you're a piece of junk. Well, if the anointing was carried with that, I mean, we'd have computer parts all over the house. You stupid car, you're a piece of junk. Well, if the full anointing was carried on those words, you know, your car, all of a sudden, carburetors would be flying out, you know, brake pads would fall off, tires would go flat, windows would crack. Then you know what we do? We get mad at God. Well, why'd you let that happen? He said, hey, you're the one that wanted your words to carry power and anointing. I'm just letting you see what's going to happen. Okay, well, fix this. He said, oh, no. That's on you. You believe me for the finances, we'll get it fixed. You follow the train of thought here. Would God talk, I mean, this part right here, would God speak over your life what you speak over your life? And when this whole thing about, you know, over your life, think in terms of your body, your money, your job. You say, well, I don't have a job. All right, well then, start speaking like you do. You understand what I mean? Look, unless you've officially retired, God wants you to have a job. So therefore, you speak this way. Stop. Don't speak your frustration. Don't speak your disappointment. Sure, you're going to feel it. But when you open your mouth and you begin to speak these things that don't line up with the will of the Father and His Word, have you ever considered that maybe we're just compounding our situations? That we're just making it worse? And the devil, he's not doing as much as what we think. He just sits back and watches us confess defeat over our lives, and he's not doing a thing. And then we blame him. Hang to up his hands and say, wait a second now, hold me. I didn't say those things. You said those things. You're the one that cursed your life. Thank you for helping me out. With all these wars that I'm starting here around the world, I'm running a little thin right now. I appreciate you helping me. I don't want to help him. Man, I want to facilitate what God wants to do in my life. And I do that by coming to the place of believing what He said in His Word and then turning around and speaking those things of His life, those things of His nature, those things of His will, those things of my inheritance, those things of His character. And if other Christians don't like it, well, you know, I'm sorry for them. But I don't want to live a life full of exasperation. I want to live a life, you know what? I want to live a life like what Jesus lived. I want to live a life of daily victory, whatever that means concerning God's will for my life. And I can, and so can you, if we just guard our heart and our mouth and watch what comes out. Speak glory words, hallelujah, and see His glory manifest, amen. You know, sometimes it's hard to pray for people because when they tell you what they want you to pray about, it's almost like they're wanting you to come into agreement with their sickness, with their problem. I don't want to do that. And there have been some situations where people have come to me and said, oh, you know, pray about blank. And I can tell, if I don't word this just right, they're going to get mad at me. In fact, I've actually prayed for people over a whatever situation thing. And then when the prayer is over, I mean, the next breath. It's like they're correcting me with the problem. And you know, just stand there and... I remember one time I prayed for somebody. Had to do with a sickness. And I prayed, you know, healing. Then when the prayer was over, they immediately started possessing the sickness. And I said, but you're healed. Yeah, but some of blah, blah, sick. But you're healed. Yeah, but you're healed. And I just stood there. I said, this is one time I'm not backing down. I said, but you're healed. Finally, they caught on. And they said, oh, yeah, that's right, I'm healed. Look, you know, your body may be saying, I feel so bad right now. Don't come into agreement with it. They say, all right, listen, you may be feeling bad right now, but I'm going to speak life over you. And you may be feeling so bad right now that you won't let me get out of bed tomorrow morning, but I'm still going to speak life over you. And those of you that are married, listen, speak life over your spouses. If they're battling a physical whatever, speak life over them, man. Don't speak sickness. It's not wrong to offer. If you want me to take you to the doctor? Because sometimes, folks, we should go to the doctor. That's not wrong. And for me, it's hard when I go to the doctor. It is. Because, you know, well, what seems to be the problem? And I'm thinking, I'm going to sit here and confess the very thing I do. But I tell you what I've learned over the years is to kind of change the way I express it. In other words, instead of saying, well, I've got, I'll say something like, well, I've been battling. See what I'm saying? I've been battling. Because I don't want to take possession. Let me tell you something, guys. This is a lesson you got to learn. We're so surrounded by unbelieving Christians and a negative world. You know, it's easy just to, you know, pour out all the bad stuff. You have to be transformed by the renewing of your mind and your tongue. Boy, James was right when he said, the tongue is an unruly member. You know, who can tame it? Well, the Holy Ghost can, that's for sure. Turn it over to Him. Here, Holy Spirit, you can have my tongue. I don't want that. I've seen that. I don't want that. Praise God.